Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And this Christmas, it ain't just a place where you just come and just do what you've always done. This can be a time that you can have the best Christmas ever. And we're going to have a little look over the next few weeks about how we can have the best Christmas ever and then leading up into the best year ever next year, 2020. Because I believe it's going to be the best year we've ever had. And we've had some good ones, you know. We've had some bad ones, but we've had some good ones. But next year is going to be the best one ever. Can someone say amen? How many of you want that? Lift up your hand and just go like that if you want to grab it. And you know, you want the best year ever. So Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 through 24, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, people had already put up their Christmas decorations. Sometimes I feel like knocking on someone's door in November and saying, listen, Mary ain't even told Joseph she's pregnant yet. Put your decorations away. What's the matter with you? But that's not what it says here, so that was just me. I'm sorry. While she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Now, there's two types of Christmases that you can have. There's one that's filled with history, or there's one that's filled with destiny. If Christmas is just centered upon your past experiences or upon the experiences of other people, then it's usually just something you have to get through as cheaply and as unscathed as possible. Can someone help me out and say amen? But if you truly grasp what God has done, it can catapult you into having not only your best season ever, but your best year ever coming up. So we need to look at three things that are going to enable us to have the best Christmas ever. I don't want it to be one that's just about history, because I don't know about you, but I've had some bad Christmases. How many of you have ever had some bad Christmases? Wave your hand and help someone else out, even if it don't help you out. And sometimes if we live in the past, if we just live in our history, if we base all of our lives on our history, then you're never going to make any progress. You're never going to get a breakthrough. You're never going to have anything good that happens in your life. Because even Christians can walk forward looking backwards and then wonder why they always go off track, fall over, fall into pits and come unstuck. There has to be a shift in our mentality. There has to be a shift in our thinking and in the way that we live our lives. And it even comes down to this season of Christmas. So I want us to really quickly look at three different things about Christmas. Problems, the problems of Christmas, the power of Christmas, and the possibilities of Christmas. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, get on with it. Christmas problems. For many people, Christmas is a time of stress. You can be a little bit interactive. This is not this is not one of those churches where you have to, you know, we've got no stained glass windows, no icons. You know, you can actually speak. Amen. You can say amen if I'm doing good. Amen. You can say help him, Jesus, if you want me to just get on with it. Amen. But whatever you do, just know that in the house of the Lord, this ain't just a you come and listen to the priest. This is you are a priest and you can actually get involved. Amen? Hallelujah? And it sets you free when you can actually get involved. If you feel the, listen to me, let me do this. If you feel the presence of God come upon you, you can get up and you can run up here to the altar and you can say hallelujah. I preached in a West Indian church once, and there was a little group of old ladies there, you know, the old prayer warrior icons with the hats. And I was preaching, and they didn't realize white people could preach like this. Serious, not being racist, it's just a fact. Most people think white people can't preach, we can't jump, we can't dance, we can't sing, amen. And I can do all of those things, hallelujah. And she just, this one woman just jumped up and ran to the front and stood in front of me and went, threw a hat in the air and then ran off around the church. And I was like, yeah, man, that really got me going. So if you want to do that, it's okay in the house of the Lord. Can someone say amen? Amen. Let's not get all conservative in the house. But some people, Christmas is a time of stress. You see it, don't you? People get all stressed. Christmas is coming. Oh, God. Stress. It can be a time of excess. You've only got to go uptown. Christmas time. We went out yesterday for Lily's birthday meal. It's her birthday on Friday, 15 years old. Amen. My little girl's growing up. Hallelujah. Amen. I have to get old school on some stuff. I got my eye on every single boy that comes near her. She's a beautiful girl. But we went out and we went uptown. We very rarely go out, me and my wife. But we went out and we went out to for a meal. All her friends were there and we, you know, we paid for them to have a Christmas meal. And there was people already getting in that Christmas spirit. And they were in there and you could tell, you know, there's going to be drunkenness. There's going to be excess. Come on now. There's going to be all them parties. There's going to be people kissing under the mistletoe. And then going back into work the next day. Going, oh no, what have I done? And not only the drink in the world, the worldly people that drink, but also food. How many of you put off every single diet in December? You know what? I go on 3 diets in December because one's not enough. Amen. So I have a. But there's excess and there's often a financial mess. So there's stress, there's excess, and often a financial mess. But hopefully you might get a little bit of rest. Amen. Christmas Day, after dinner, hallelujah. You've eaten as much turkey as you can force down. You've had Christmas pud, you've had all that stuff. And then you put on some random bit of TV and everyone's. And then as a man, right, you're sitting on the couch falling asleep, hopefully. And as a woman, you can actually, you know, put your feet up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You live for that, you live for that moment. A little bit of rest, a little bit of time off. Huh? How many of you know that that seems to be a normal Christmas? Stress, excess, financial mess, hopefully a little bit of rest. Even Christians go down that route. And we do it year after year in the same old way. But for some, it can be a time of loneliness. Some people have got absent family members or none. Our families live miles and miles away. We generally have to go to see them at some stage. And, you know, the kids take them down to their grandkids. But some people haven't got any families. They're absent or, you know, there's no family members or there's no cash to buy presents. Some people haven't got any presents. You know, they haven't got no cash. We had a neighbor where we lived before, and people broke in and stole all of the presents under his Christmas tree the week before Christmas. Check that out. What a dirty, horrible dog to do that. Amen. But then they ended up with nothing. No presents. Some people haven't got any money. You know, universal credit, you know, things that have happened, sanctions, you ain't got no money. And there, all of a sudden, you're feeling like, you know, Christmas is just a place of. It's dark and horrible. There's no rich food. You just want to get it over as quick as possible. And I've had Christmases like that. I've had Christmas when I was a drug addict. I used to have Christmases where I was banged up in prison. I was nicked on Christmas Eve many times. I was banged up on Christmas Eve. I'd wake up on Christmas morning in a cell with nothing. And like, oh gosh, Grinch. Huh? Some of you might not have come from that background, but it was horrible. It was empty. You felt like you were cut off from the rest of the world. You know, you felt like you was in one of those movies that you see with Scrooge and, you know, the little crippled boy that's standing outside a place looking at everyone eating fancy food and he's outside starving to death. And sometimes emotionally and physically and mentally, you can feel like that. At Christmas, it's horrible. When I was a kid, though, Christmas was simple and magical. How many of you can remember when you was a kid? And there was just a magic to it. Are you with me? It was my parents handed down all sorts of traditions that had been handed down to them. Some of the traditions, I don't know where they come from. Some Christmas traditions. Are you with me? Big socks, you know, on the mantelpiece, and you know what I mean? Different foods that you eat and different things that you do. And everyone's got their own Christmas traditions, right? How many of you have got a Christmas tradition in your family that you know no one else has got? All right, two of you. The rest of you, you're just like normal, ordinary, got all the same traditions. But, you know, all of these traditions come from somewhere. They get handed down from somewhere. And when you're a kid, you wait with anticipation, don't you? For the gifts and the presents, and you can't sleep and you're all excited. And when you wake up, you know, you're like, how did that fat man get down the chimney and put all these presents here? Because we live in a block of flats. We haven't even got a chimney. I don't know how he did it. How did that happen? That's the biggest miracle of all. But you're there as a kid. It's all magical and exciting. And you have all the music, don't you? You have the sleigh bells. You have the snow. You have all that stuff. But then when I became a teen and an early adult, it just started getting a bit stressful and disappointing. The magic left. Loneliness crept in, lack. And, you know, you're wondering, you're questioning everything. You're questioning all the traditions. And then I got saved. I went through the darkness in my time, BC as a junkie, and then I got saved. Hallelujah. I got saved in July 1995, and on the Christmas Eve of my first year of salvation, I took my dad to church Christmas Eve. How many of you know going to church Christmas Eve can work miracles? I took my unbeliever dad to church Christmas Eve. I'm newly saved Christian, and I took him to church, and he got saved Christmas Eve. And he's been serving God for nearly 25 years in the same church. Christmas Eve. But then as a new Christian, I started getting all religious about Christmas. Someone sent me a card and it said, Merry Xmas. And I burnt it. Well, you heretic. You've took the Christ out of Christmas. What's the matter with you? How many of you have gone down that route? And then people start telling you, oh, a pagan. Christmas is a pagan festival. You're worshipping the tree, a pagan. And they start getting all like that. And you try and spiritualize Christmas, right? How many of you have ever been down that route? Some of you are in that route right now. You're like, oh, don't like your kids. Don't do this. Christmas is pagan. Don't have a tree. I know people like that. And you over-spiritualize things. And I've been down that route. But now, you know, having been around a little while, having read the Bible a few hundred times, I can see it for what it's become in the world that we live in. It's a traditional festival that can actually be enjoyed. It's okay. You can enjoy Christmas. You have permission to enjoy this season. Amen. Because if it's done right and everything's put in its box, it's okay. And we understand that the origins of Christmas, it goes back as far as mankind has been on the earth. People celebrated this time of year. For example, in Europe and places where there's not much sun, where the winters are dark and hard, people began to celebrate the winter solstice, which was the shortest day of the year, December the 25th. And it turned into a time of pagan celebration with various gods being worshipped. And the reason why people celebrated at this time was because the darkness was almost over and the light was about to come. So even though that these things became what they became, they always had that element of truth in them. According to historians, it's a natural time for a feast. It's a time when in an agricultural society, you're not growing anything. So people, you know, they can rest and they can use some of the stuff that they've got. And they have a time of celebration and a time of party. It's also a period, one scholar said, when frankly everyone needs cheering up. And so it's a good time for a feast. The Romans celebrated a thing called Saturnalia after their god Saturn, their god of agriculture. In the land of Canaan, the god of agriculture was called Baal, and they celebrated the god of fertility. They celebrated this time with excess. They would feast and drink to excess. It was a time of merrymaking, and it was a time of exchanging gifts. And then In this time, all the houses were decorated with lights. Gifts were given to the poor. You know, food, good fellowship, the Yule log, Yule cakes, greenery, fir trees, all that stuff. Fires, lights, symbols of warmth, lasting life. You can get all that in the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it tells you about what Christmas has become and the traditions behind it. And that's why people get bent out of shape with it. The early church didn't celebrate Christmas. It wasn't until 300 or 400 AD, after the time of Christ, that they started celebrating it. And you know why the church started celebrating Christmas, the birth of Christ on December the 25th? It was really that day just as a reaction against all of the excess of all of the ungodly people. And it was to try and say, listen, we've got a better way than everything that you're doing. And it in itself became a tradition. And then we come to today. Today is a massive commercial pressure, right? So you've got all that tradition and now you've got a massive commercial pressure. And it gets more and more aggressive. How many of you know in September you start seeing Christmas stuff? It used to be November. Then it was October. Now it's September. They're already. You have stuff for Halloween and then you have mince pies. I'm like, come on. And then you start hearing it in the shops. Right? You're going in the shops and it's all targeted, isn't it? It's targeted to our emotions. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You're like, it's sunny out, man. What's the matter with you? Huh? You have sales, super sales, and nothing good's ever discounted in the sales, is it? It's only the rubbish. You never go in there to find the thing that you've always wanted discounted by 50%, do you? The thing that you've always wanted, them trainers, that dress, that coat, is always full price. And the random one that you don't want, but that you're tempted to buy, purple one, or you know what I mean? The sparkly ones, they're the ones that are discounted. And some people are so conditioned that they buy the random things that they didn't want just because they were cheaper. And all of this stuff adds to it. It's more pressure to buy. Gifts, baubles, trees, food, more gifts, right? More stuff that will probably go to waste. And then it will get to Christmas Eve and you forgot Auntie's present. Right? How many of you have got a little stock somewhere of presents that you're going to recycle this year? Gifts that you received last year. You know, like that little wash set. Everyone gives you a random named wash set, soap and all that. People give that to me. I'm like, do I smell? Do I stink? Why do you give me soap every year, man? Pants that don't fit, or you know what I mean? Pajamas that are itchy, that you give to someone else next year, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. Am I messing up your life right now? And all the songs, making a list. Checking it twice. Want to find out who's naughty or not. Huh? He sees you when you're sleeping. What? Time out, man. That's a bit weird. You know, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer and his archenemy, Olive. Remember Olive the reindeer? Olive the other reindeer, used to laugh and call it. And you get all this stuff going on. And then every year, coming up close, you'll have all the old school worldly songs, Slade, screaming, it's Christmas, you know, the Pogues. It's Christmas, hey, 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 hey. Man with one tooth in his head trying to sing. Like he's chewing a toffee with one tooth. He can't understand what he's saying. Unbelievable. But that's what gets you, man. You start getting stressed. You start getting depressed. Right? Can we be honest in the house? Huh? And it messes people up, man. And by the time Christmas comes, you're dead. You're dead with it. You're like, just get it over with. Just eat that dry bit of old turkey or... God, turkey again, man. But some of us, it's okay. You can still enjoy it, just not the excess. But you don't have to feel condemned by it. Here's the thing. You can have permission to enjoy it if you can. But don't worry about it if you can't. Don't put too much into it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says this. Don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or celebrating them, or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ is that reality. See, here's the thing. Christmas power. Let's have a look at Christmas power. The thing is that unlike Santa, who, if you rearrange the letters of his name, actually says Satan. Unlike Santa, Jesus always delivers what he promises. I don't know about you, but I've given Santa Christmas lists before, and I've been severely disappointed. And I used to be told, well, you must have been naughty. What? Next time Vicky tells me that, I'm going to... So all this season is traditional, it's all messed up, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is power in what it means. Whenever he was born, it was just as the Bible promised. Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would give birth to a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. The gospel writers tell us that that is exactly what happened. They tell us where he was born, in Bethlehem. They tell us how he was born, impregnated by God, not man. This is really important. Mary and Joseph were both direct descendants of King David, which was another thing that was necessary for the Savior's CV. And the reason why he was born was to become a sacrifice for sin. This is important. It had to be a man. How many of you know sin is a power that no one gets away with in this life by yourself? How many of you have ever had to teach a child how to do wrong? Yeah? You taught a child how to do wrong. You evil person. Most people. All right. Praise the Lord. Mr. Evil over there. Amen. No, but I don't know what you're talking about, but normally you don't have to teach a child how to do wrong, do you? They just automatically know how to do wrong. Like throw that cup of water in your face. Vomit on your best dress. Come on now. Say no and cry when you want to get them out and get to church in the morning. Sin is a force that everyone's born with. No one can do anything about. And it came about through a human. It came about through Adam. Adam and Eve took what belonged to God. They took the first thing. In the garden, this has to do with everything to do with spirituality. There was one thing that God said out of all his creation that they shouldn't touch. It was that which belonged to God. And it was when they touched that which belonged to God that all of a sudden they said, you know what, we're not trusting you to be our God anymore. We want to be our own God. We want to take what is yours, rightfully yours, and we want to do what we want to do with it. You know, that happens in your money as well. That happens in your finances. That happens in your prayer. That happens in your time, your talent. It happens in everything. The moment that you touch what belongs to God, something begins to die. But the moment you keep what belongs to God with God, everything is just blessed, right? So it happened that man messed up and that was it. And no man could be found to pay the debt of that one man, because every man was born in the likeness of his father, was born in the likeness of his ancestors. And that sin continued to go through generation to generation to generation. And when God was looking and saying, who is there going to be able to deal with this thing? There was none that was found righteous. No, not one. So that's why Jesus was born of a virgin. He was created of the same stuff as Adam. He was created from the dust of the earth. He was created from the ground. He was created with that human quality, but he also had the divinity in him. Just as Adam didn't have a human father, so Jesus didn't have a human father. And he came through to become the one that could pay the price for Adam's sin. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 said, don't be afraid. An angel said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior Yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Look at that promise. Good news, joy, salvation, all wrapped up in a person. And the thing is, we can learn from him. We can get to know him. This is a gift that when you unwrap it, oh, it's the best gift that you can ever, ever receive. You know what? Maybe this Christmas, like my dad unwrapped that gift Christmas Eve. Maybe this is the Christmas where you invite one of your family members to come and get to know Jesus. Maybe this is the Christmas where you invite your neighbor to unwrap that present. The power of God is for salvation. The power of Jesus in this season is for salvation. But what about the possibilities? There's a few possibilities in this season. First of all, possibility of faith. You know, it's possible to deepen your faith at this time. It's possible to deepen your faith. That even though everything's going on around you, excess, stress and all the madness, traditions and, you know, all of that stuff, when you decide to worship God and remember Christ, not because of a special day, but because it's what you want to do all the time, then your faith can be deepened. How many of you know some Christians say they're Christians? I was looking through the Pew Research studies that talk about how many people in the UK actually say they're Christians. And it's quite a high percentage. But how many people actually attend church? It's a low percentage. And there's a lot of people that think that they're Christians because they attend church on Christmas or Easter. Are you with me? They come on a special occasion. But how many of you know, when you worship Jesus every day in the same way, that you can actually deepen your faith at this time? Then your finances. How many of you know it's possible to survive this season debt-free? Huh? How many of you want to survive this season debt-free? You know, I'm going to be debt-free this Christmas. From Christmas. I'm not going to borrow any money for Christmas. I've had money saved up for Christmas. Amen. And let me tell you about my December. My December starts on the 6th with Lily's birthday. It goes to the 17th for Vicky's birthday. And then it goes to December the 25th with everyone wants a present. So can you imagine how expensive it is for me in December? I used to sell my kidney on eBay every year. But now I've got some bad reviews about my kidney. Hallelujah. People keep sending it back as well used and a little bit worn. So I can't go down that route. I tried to get some of my disciples to sell their kidneys. Amen. Kidney for the cause. Amen. God gave you two. Bless one to the cause. Hallelujah. But, you know, I was told, no, you can't do that. So I didn't do that. So now what I do is I actually save. What? I start early in the year and I put money aside and I hide it from Vicky. Because if Vicky knows there's money around, it's going to get spent on something. Not that she's a great spender, but she just has these grand projects that she wants to put in place. Lights and bells and whistles and, you know, something. So I put money away and she don't know how much I've put away. Ha ha! How many married men know that it's good to have something over on your wife like that every now and again? Hallelujah. So I save. Save. That's a good thing. Jesus is a saver. But also, you know what the other key is? I give. You know what a lot of people do at this time of year? Is they rob Jesus to pay Santa. There's two things that people do wrong with their finances. We're going to do a whole series of this in January and February next year about how to unlock the key to your blessing. You know the first thing is? They don't give God the first fruits of their income. They give him their leavings, their leftovers. Then they wonder why they're not blessed. Amen. The second thing is they don't give God what it is that he's due as a Christian. And they compromise and they say, you know what, in this season I'm not going to give to God because I've got so much else that I've got to pay for. And then they wonder why they never have enough. It's a spiritual principle. If you listen to me right now, listen to me. If you don't get anything else from this sermon, get this. If you give God first, the best off the top, whatever amount that you have decided in your heart to give, you take whatever income you get and you give to God his first bit, then the opposite of what happened to Adam will happen to you. Adam started to be cursed and he started to die. That won't happen to your finances. So you give and you save. You save and you give. And I guarantee you will come through this season debt-free. Amen? Unless, of course, you go out and you buy something stupid with money that you ain't got to impress someone you don't like. Come on now. You know, but that's just that. So don't rob God of your tithes and offerings to pay Santa and some suit their Xmas profits. Just give as usual. In fact, even give a little bit more and test God and see what he will do. You watch how he comes through and how everyone in your home, everyone in your house will be blessed. You watch. You watch. Some of you are like, oh, yeah, yeah. Watch, do it. Dare you. Double dare you, man. Huh? Turn around, just touch someone, say, you ain't going to do it, you. And if they said that to you, say, I am. You watch. Prove it. Listen, if the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, then giving money to God in the right way is the key that unlocks the blessings that the enemy doesn't want you to have. What about friendships? What about friendships? It's possible to build relationships to a new depth and a new level at Christmas. If you focus on what matters most, the people that you love, then there's two things that you can give them that don't even need money. You give them love and you give them time. Amen? Give them love. You can phone someone up. You can send someone a Christmas card. You can make a call. You can tell someone I love you. You can be encouraging to someone, or you can just be there. And they're the two best gifts that you can give everyone because they're the two most important things that anyone has to give. The gift of time is the best one anyone can ever give. So take time this Christmas to connect or reconnect with someone. Amen. Phone a friend, man. Huh? Phone someone you haven't connected with for a while because you don't know what they're going through. You know the amount of times I've been prompted to phone someone and I've phoned them up or I've texted them and said, you know what? You were on my heart. I just wanted to pray for you. I just wanted to tell you that I love you, man. Are you okay? The amount of times that people go, wow, I really needed that. Thank you. And then you reconnect. And the friendship thing that you develop is just a beautiful thing. And then also, there's fun. Fun. You can have fun this Christmas. Have fun. Laugh. Joke, pull crackers, laugh at them. What do you call a donkey with three legs? A wonky. Oh, you know, it's okay, man. It's all right. It's all right to laugh like that. It's all right to. It's okay. Just be balanced. You don't need to get drunk to have fun. Don't need to take drugs to have fun. I've drunk as much as you can drink. I've taken nearly every drug you can think of, even some that I didn't even know what they were. We even had a guinea pig that we used once when we used to rob chemists, allegedly, back in the day. And we would even feed them drugs we didn't even know what they were. And he would take them. But you don't need to do that to have fun. Amen? You don't need to get drunk. You don't need to take drugs. I mean, if you know, there's no high like the Most High. The peace of God, the presence of God, friends and family, having fun. How many of you know it's great to be straight, those of you that have ever been messed up at Christmas? It is great to be straight. It's great to wake up on Christmas morning with no banging headache. I used to wake up with a banging headache, a black eye and knuckles like a blind cobbler. Understand that you either play now and pay later, or you pay now and play later. Huh? Have fun. Fellowship. It's possible to be a true representative of Christ. You know what? Invite someone to your house for Christmas dinner. You know, nearly every year we've got people coming to our house for Christmas dinner. Last year we had people come around, I didn't even know them. I think they just wandered in off the street. I didn't even know them. We invited someone to come around. He turned up with all these waifs and strays. I'm like, I don't even know this dude. But come in, praise the Lord, we'll make a little bit of turkey for you. And he was sitting there like he owned it. But praise God, it was good for him, because otherwise, where was he going to go? And we could encompass it. We could do it. Are you with me? Invite someone to your house. You never know what blessing God is going to bring. When you invite a stranger, you might be inviting an angel into your house. Amen? Invite them to church or both. But don't just have Christmas on your own, in your own little thing. Open it up and let it become the best Christmas that you've ever had. Give the gift of time or treasure or love or something to someone this year. Let's kill some of that old traditional historical madness, and let's really, really give birth to a little bit of destiny. Amen? Let's have the best Christmas ever. Lastly, it's possible to be content and not compromise. You know how? You know how you can do this? Don't compare. Don't compare the size of your tree with the size of your neighbor's tree. Don't compare how many gifts you got with how many other gifts other people got. Don't compare how big your turkey is with someone else in Aldi. Amen. Don't compare your Christmas lights, because if you've got loads of Christmas lights outside, turn them off. Amen. Just don't compare, because the enemy of contentment is comparison. Just enjoy the love of your family. Enjoy the love of God. Enjoy the fact that Jesus is the I Am. And he wants to come into your life today. He wants to touch you right now. He wants to release in you a better future. He wants to give you things that money can't buy. I pray that this one is one that you're not just going to survive. It's going to be one where you thrive. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Some of you know 2020 is going to be the year that God releases you into your destiny. How many of you want to know what God's got in store for your life? How many of you want to really, really know? Because I'm telling you right now, if you really, really want to know what God's got for your life and you're willing to step in to the adventure that he's got for you, 2020 is going to be the year for you. He's going to be releasing you, raising you, training you, teaching you, blessing you. Amen. But he ain't just gonna bless you so that you can just get fat and blessed. He's gonna bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. He's gonna deliver you from past problems so you can be a deliverer to people's future problems. He's gonna give you solutions to other people's problems. And when you become a solution, you get a promotion. And he's gonna promote some of you this coming year. Are you ready for that though? I want us to start now. I want us to do something crazy. I want you to get up and I want you to come to the front, and we're gonna pray for each other at the front right now. I want to get you in it already. Amen. Come and come to the front. Worship team going to come back. I want you to come and get in it. I don't want this to be just a usual Christmas year. I don't want this to be a usual Christmas church. We're going to have a place where there is going to be breakthrough. There is going to be family. There is going to be fun. Some of you that have had a bad year, a terrible year, a hard year, it is done, it is over. God has drawn the line. Your enemy can come no further. How many of you have had a tough year? You feel like the hedge of protection was taken from you. Let me see your hands. Listen, the hedge was taken, but the blood wasn't. You're still in you're still under his covering. You're still in his good books. In fact, he's tested you because he trusted you. And now, because you passed the test, you're ready to go to another level. But we're all in it. God wants to use every single one of your lives this Christmas. He don't just want to use me because I'm a minister and you're not a minister. We're all ministers. We're a kingdom of priests, man. And God wants to use your life. I want you to start by turning to a person next to you and ask him, what can I pray for you for? Even if you're a stranger to each other, what can I pray for you for? And then I want you to pray for that need, because that's a gift that you can give. That's a gift that any of you can give, is the gift of prayer. So I want you to begin to pray for that person. Pray for each other right now. Pray that blessing over their life. Pray for that need right now. Pray, pray, pray. If you're watching online, get someone, phone someone, call someone, text someone, email someone. How can I pray for you? It's a gift I want to give you this Christmas. Christmas begins right now, and you're giving gifts that money can't buy. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Pray like God's listening. Come on. Pray like you mean it. Pray like you believe it. Pray like you're about to receive it.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.